beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're the center. Everything revolves around you. Jesus, you at the center of it all. The center of it all. And Jesus, be the center of my life. Jesus, be the center of my life. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, nothing else matters, and nothing in this world will do. Jesus, be the center of your church, and every knee will bow, and every tongue shall confess you, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. The center of it all.
Praise the Lord, church. You could be seated for a moment here. And if you're a guest of ours, it's an honor to have you here this evening. I'm Pastor Roy Grant. And my wife and I, Lois, pastor here, a senior pastor. And it's just an honor to have you here. And we have a little connection cards out in the vestibule. And if you haven't got one, we'd like to connect with you. If you're watching online, there's also a place there online that you can take and make the connection. And it's just an honor to have you here this evening. We have a special guest this evening, the Thomas, Brother Sister Thomas from Micronesia Islands in the South Pacific. And so when it comes to giving, if you'd like to have your regular tithing and offering, I think most of us know how to do that online, in person, or by mail. And then we have a mobile giving app. If you're going to be making any type of a donation for the Thomases tonight, just make sure that you label that. If you do it by online or by mail, that you label that it's for the missionaries, Thomas. Just write that in there, and we'll make sure that that gets to the appropriate place. So this Sunday, on the 18th, we have a special. It's our last outdoor men's service of the season, and that's going to be at Marvin Renvick's place. And Jerry Simmons, if Jerry can stand. Jerry is our men's director. He oversees our men's ministry. And if that's something you would like to be a part of, I think we have three of the men from the congregation going to be speaking, and so I'm excited about that. I think it's Jay Henry and Derek Buchholz and Josh Stone are going to be our three speakers. You're encouraged to bring a chair, and it's probably going to be maybe a little wet still from all of the rain, so you want to make sure you bring your chair. If you bring a chair, make sure you take home a chair. Okay, my wife and I host quite a few events in our home, and we have a huge stack of unclaimed chairs. My wife's like, where did that one come from? I'm like, I have no idea. Somebody left it here. They left without it, but nevertheless. And then also we have some large grills, so guys, bring you something to throw on the grill, whatever you want, meat, whatever type, veggies, whatever, and we're just going to have a great time of fellowship. And it'll be our last one of the season, so we're excited about that. Also, on a different note here, our VOSES and AIM, our Spanish and our French-speaking congregations, our African International and VOSES, they are having a 1 o'clock service. It's going to be a combined service on Sunday, and afterwards they're going to have a potluck highlighting all the various nationalities of their congregations. And I think they had said there was somewhere in the neighborhood of 38 to 42 different nationalities. So if you're a potluck person and you like a lot of different, I told Pastor Fabian, I said, you know, when I get to heaven, I want to go to the if you could go to the Spanish table. They got good food. But anyway, so they're gonna be that, and we're all welcome if you'd like to take and come and join with their congregations in worship. So with that, if we could all stand, and we're just going to pray. As many of you know, our bishop is in Oak Park rehab. He will be there till next Wednesday is when he's slated to be released and be able to go home. And he is, if I could say, a bit on the bored side of things. So if you have time and you'd like to go visit him, you're more than welcome. He can have visitors. It's fully open now. But just throwing that out there, if you'd like to pop by and just say hello. You don't have to stay a long time. It's later in the afternoons. There's the better times because they do keep them busy with rehab and all of that stuff. So let's pray tonight. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be here tonight and to worship you with my brothers and sisters and friends and family. I ask you, Lord, that your hand would be upon this service. I pray, Lord, for our worship. I pray, Lord, for our ministering, the Thomases, as they bring their burden, Micronesian Islands, to Madison, Wisconsin. I pray, God, for our bishop, and I pray, Lord, for all of those within our congregation that are struggling with various illnesses, situations. We thank you, Jesus. We worship you. We praise you. In the name of Jesus, Amen. God bless you. You can be seated or you can remain standing as we worship. Thank you.
Always enough. like you, Jesus. There is no one higher than you. There's no one greater. There is no one greater than you. Let my life forever praise the glory of your name. 'Cause there is no all fear, Jesus, Jesus. You make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus. Sing it with me, Jesus, Jesus. You make the darkness, Jesus. You silence every fear.
Such a sweet presence of the Spirit of the Lord in this place tonight. Isn't it great to know that when you come to church, you can feel the presence of God? It's not that He's here when you get here, which is true, but we bring Him with us, don't we? We bring Him with us because everywhere we go, He should be going. So it's great to be here tonight, and if you could just remain standing for a few moments here. It is such an honor to have Brother and Sister Thomas here this evening. And we first met them this afternoon, or this morning, actually, late morning. We met for lunch, at just had a great time of fellowship and a conversation, and they're just those people that you meet, you feel like you've kind of known them your whole life. But it's just great to have them here. And just before they come, I just want to preface this. They are going to the Micronesian Islands as associate missionaries. And what that basically means is at the different levels of missions within the UPCI, they do not qualify for Move the Missions funds as a full-fledged full-fledged career missionary, as they call them, would. So what we're looking to do is as a fundraiser for them, when they get there, they're going to need a vehicle, because a vehicle won't be provided for them. And these folks have sold everything they've owned, their house, all their belongings, and moving to the South Pacific. And we want to be able to help them out with purchasing a vehicle when they get there. So that's going to be our part of our offering, if you would like to take and give to the mission field there in the Micronesian Islands. That would be what your funds would be going for. Now, we will probably, by the end of this, take them on as a partner in missions as well. But that's kind of our project, if we could call it that. A lot of the missionaries have projects for different things. But so with that, it is an honor to have you here, Brother Thomas. Come and share your burden with us. God bless you, brother.
Come on, somebody praise the Lord. I believe the Bible says in 1 Corinthians that Jesus has become to us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. But the very next verse says, so he who's going to glory, glory in the Lord. That means I don't get to say, hey, I made it because of me, because of my good looks, or because of my good attitude, or because I fed the poor. But if we're going to make it, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to make it because Jesus has been good to us. Amen. So can we just give him some glory? You may be seated in the name of the Lord. Thank you. I want to give honor to Pastor Grant, his labor of love to his ministry. Wow, it just, you can see it written all through the church. It's, aren't you thankful to have a man of God that loves and cares for people? Amen. To all the pastoral staff, the ministry, to the saints, God bless you. I give you great honor. Thank you for being a part of everything that you do for the kingdom. And of course, I have to give honor to my wife, because without her, I'm just telling you, I couldn't keep it together. I wouldn't be here. Thanks. I'm glad she is here with me. I'll tell you a little bit about ourselves before we get started. My wife and I, we come from a little place in southern Indiana named Scottsburg, Indiana. You wouldn't know it. It's a tiny little place. We didn't grow up in church. We grew up rough. We grew up in a very sinful lifestyle. We started our family young, very young, but we had faith in God. We believed that there was a God. We just didn't know how to get a hold of him. And we had the opportunity to move to South Florida, and there it's where we got into the church. It was a Jamaican man that came and taught me a Bible study and talked to me about Jesus' name, baptism, repentance of my sin, and filling of the Holy Ghost. And soon afterwards, we were filled with the Holy Ghost, and we never looked back. I said, if God would do this for me, he'll surely do it for somebody else. And so I began inviting people to church, and we began doing various things, and one thing led to another till we became outreach directors. We were home Bible study coordinators. We were youth pastors. We were assistant to the pastor, Sunday school teachers, evangelists. And then the Lord called us to missions. God called us in a prayer meeting. And by this time, we had moved back to southern Indiana. God called us through the giftings of the Spirit. And he told us, he said, you will walk in foreign lands, but all these other missionaries get these great calls where, hey, you're going to go to this land at this time, at this place, in this city. That didn't happen for me. You're going to go into foreign lands. And so that was probably 2 years before I actually filled out any application to go anywhere. And my wife will tell you that I was most miserable. I don't know if anyone hears the call of God and you're not in the call where God wants you to be. It'll make you miserable. Amen. So I felt the pressure and the pressure building up, and I asked my wife, I said, hey, let's just fill out an application for short-term missions. And she said, well, where to? I said, let's just go to England. They speak English. We'll be able to manage that. And so that's what we did. We filled out the application for England for 3 months. And I thought, well, 3 months, I can keep my house. I can keep my business. I can go there, do that, come back right back into my lifestyle, because I was preaching out probably from my home church twice a month. Pastor was using me at home probably the other 2 weeks, and life was good, right? And so we filled out the application. Pastor signed off on it. Global Missions contacts us back. They said, Brother Thomas, if you'd be willing to go to the Pacific, we have islands with no churches. We have churches with no pastors, and we have missionaries that are retiring, and we really need help. I said, well, sure, as long as they speak English. And they said, they do indeed speak English, but you're going to have to go for a year. And then I said, well, let me get back with you. And so I looked at my wife, and we talked it over, and I said, are we called to this or not? And a year meant we had to sell the house. It meant we had to sell the business. And so we determined, we talked to Pastor. He gave us the thumbs up, and we filled out the application to go to Micronesia for a year. We had two supporters at $25 a month. That's all we had. So we had $50 a month coming in. We spent a year from selling our forks and our spoons and our blankets and our furniture and everything else that was in the house. And so that's how we got to Micronesia. Anybody ever heard of Micronesia? This is the most I've ever seen in any place that we've went that's heard of Micronesia. Some people say it sounds like a disease, like amnesia, like an accident or something. I'm like, no, it's not. It's a place. Micro means small. Nesia means island, so small islands. If you got the map of the Pacific, sir, we'll put that up. We'll show up people exactly where we're at. So we'll go to the map of the Pacific. There we go. So everybody knows Australia, and you see above it in bold Micronesia. Micronesia is scattered out. There's thousands and thousands of islands, and it's about the size of the United States from one side to the other. There should be a map labeled Micronesia. We'll zoom in. So if you see in the bottom corner of the highlighted place, we went to an island nation of Palau. Palau has about 300 islands. And in those islands, if you took every one of those islands, and I'm from a small county in Indiana, a very small county, you could fit all those islands inside that county that I live in. There's 19,000 people there. There's two congregations. There's a Filipino congregation and a Palawan congregation. We were assigned to work with the Palawan congregation. They told us they needed revival. It had been a while since people got the Holy Ghost and the numbers were down or what have you. And so the pastor basically just handed it to my wife and I. And so there we went and we did crusades, we did Bible studies, we started a radio ministry, we were in the prison. There was days, we were weeks, we were preaching 7 days a week, but God blessed us and he gave us revival and very thankful for that. And I got a little short video I want to show you. I'll talk you through it so that way we know what you're looking at. But it's a little bit of the testimony of what God did for us. The video should have sound with it as well. So that's, my daughter went with us. That is Hawaii. I had never been to Hawaii, and I'd seen it from the plane. I thought I better take a picture. That's some people greeted us at the airport when we got there. They left that basket. 26 hours of traveling, that basket was very much appreciated. That was our little home in Palau, just a two-room place. Lots of coconuts, bananas, papayas, lemons, mangoes all around the house. Palau is definitely a beautiful place. That is in an Abai. It's a meeting house for the chiefs. On every promise, we're not afraid. One of the many waterfalls. Faith goes before us. Oh, and we believe. Always a good sunset. This is the church that we ministered in, the Palawan church. Started out with 6 to 12 people. That's some of the youth there. My daughter on the end. Some of the sisters praying with my wife. This is in the Filipino congregation. They use a hotel room. That's Sister Debbie receiving the Holy Ghost. They get the Holy Ghost in Palau just like we do here, by the evidence of speaking in other tongues. This is a Palauan home, very, very humble, but they wouldn't know it. They're a happy, happy people. Some of the young guys helping us with outreach here. In outreach, we would do Bible studies. This is, we're praying for this sister here. Bible studies and crusades. And you think crusades, think of small villages, maybe 60 houses, 70 houses. And so we would go to these villages and preach for a couple of days. This young baby's feet were just all nasty, and she had been through it, antibiotics, three different types, but nothing was happening. The church prayed, and they began to scab over. Her name's Samoe. Her grandmother, which you see here, was our first Bible study, and she received the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's the inside of their home. These are all Bible study students that we had. They all were baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost. Sister Esther receiving the Holy Ghost right there for the first time at a Bible study. Sister Cindy receiving the Holy Ghost at a Bible study. This is one of our village crusades. Most of these pictures you're getting ready to see here. We would sing, we'd go for 2 days, and we would just talk about the promise of God, the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's what you see there in the village preaching. In the village. This lady here is Cyrie. She received the Holy Ghost that night, but she was baptized 20 years ago in the name of Jesus, but got the Holy Ghost the first time that night of our crusade. So we had to, got some fun. World War II, for all you history men out there, this stuff is everywhere throughout the islands. Lots of guns. A sister at the Filipino church worked for this tourist thing, and we got to fly on the plane for free. My daughter got to fly, and so she loved that. This is the Filipino congregation. That's young people out front leading worship. Very worshipful group of people. That's Sister Marcella. She got the Holy Ghost coming up out of baptism. Brother Sato, great guy, got the Holy Ghost coming out of the water. Sister Cindy there, we seen her earlier at the Bible study getting the Holy Ghost. That's her baptism. That's Brother Ernie. Brother Ernie was a prideful man, and it took a long time, but he got the Holy Ghost at foot washing nonetheless. Sister Sky, that's his wife. Last year we baptized 50 and 41 Holy Ghost filled. This young lady here, my wife spoke at Mother's Day. She was a 19-year-old mother. She got the Holy Ghost. This is the youth, my daughter. My daughter done a great work while we were there. She had, I think, 8 kids baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost as well. She's at IBC now. There she is with young Dacia, or Day-Day, we called her Day-Day. So, we are here tonight because we need your help. We, after Palau, I didn't really know what was happening, but I remember the word of the Lord said foreign lands, and so we applied. We feel like we did what we come to do. We had revival. We lifted up the church. And so we put in a change of field and said, well, we'll see where they will send us. And they came back and they said, our regional director, Brother Thomas, please stay in Micronesia. We still need your help. And they asked us if we would go to the Commonwealth of the Northern Mariana Islands. Now, there's an island there named of Saipan. In 2008, there was a church there. The pastor passed away, and that was in 2008, and they was never able to send a minister there or get anybody there, so the church is kind of scattered. Now, I believe everything in me that there's a contacts there. We had some people in Palau that were had relatives in Saipan, and it was, I believe her name was Susie, and Susie had won her brother, and Susie had won her sister, but they were in the church in Palau. But the soul winner is on Saipan and doesn't have a church. And so they've asked us to go resurrect the work that was lost in 2008. There's still believers there. They're scattered, but we're going to find them. And I believe that once we get there, that, see, Saipan, it's a dark place. There's brothels, there's gambling, there's drugs, there's all the stuff that it's just dark. But when we get there, I believe that a beacon of light, salvation will come to the islands of the Marianas, and people will be born again and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, and a church will be resurrected. And I don't believe that just because the Thomases will show up. I believe that, ladies and gentlemen, because I believe in the message that we preach. I still believe if you repent of your sins and get baptized in the name of Jesus, that you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, and you will do what everybody else did. You will speak in tongues when it happens, amen? And so I have faith in that message. So we're here today, and we're asking for your help. We need a car. We don't get the move the missions in the short-term missions that we're in. And we need a car to teach Bible studies, to run and to do all the ministering that has to happen to do what we do. But more than that, we need your prayers. Pastor, I've never been in a place where there wasn't a church. I've always been able to go to the pastor, go to my brother, lock arms with me. Let's go down to the church. I know it's midnight, but I need to pray. I need someone to help me. I'm not going to have that. And I told my wife, I said, you know, the first Sunday we're there, I said, I'm going to preach like it's general conference. And if you're the only person there, I said, you better amen me. And she said, well, I'm going to lead worship like it's general conference, and you better not sit down on me. And so, but I just believe that God is going to give us revival. And so we also need faithful partners in missions, people who will partner with this $5, $10, $15, $25 a month. And that doesn't sound like a lot. I can't go to McDonald's with my grandbaby and my wife under 25 bucks. But if we, 25 bucks in Micronesia keeps the lights on. It keeps the electric, it does a lot, doesn't it? So that would mean a lot to us. Usually I would have my wife come and sing, but it's getting late. I'm going to try to be done by 8:30. So if you'll just stand, we'll go straight into the Word. We're going to look at Ruth chapter 1, just one verse of Scripture, and I'm going to read from the New King James Version, Ruth 1 and 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to dwell in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. If you lay your Bibles down, help me pray for just a minute. Lord, we love you. We thank you, God, for this opportunity. We thank you, God, for your presence that we have felt. Lord, for the blood. Lord, for the outpouring of your Spirit. But now, God, we're calling upon your name, the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, cover us tonight under your blood, under your mercy, Lord. God, as we draw nigh unto you, Lord, you promised you would draw nigh unto us. God, I don't want to leave this place the way that I came, but I want to leave revived and renewed in you. And if you want to be revived, somebody say, in Jesus' name. Clap your hands, give your neighbor a high five, and you may be seated. The authorship of the book of Ruth, it's uncertain. Some think Samuel wrote it. Of course, the events, as we read, occurred during the period or the time of the judges. There are four principal characters in the book of Ruth. There's Naomi, Ruth, Boaz, and Orpah. And there are many lessons in the book of Ruth that we can apply to our own personal life. For example, in each chapter, we find similarities between Ruth's actions and the believer's relationship with Christ. Ruth followed and worked for Naomi, so we follow and we work for Christ. Ruth rested at Boaz's feet, and we rest in Christ. And finally, Ruth was married to Boaz, and we will be married to Christ. So hallelujah, at the end of the age. And so thus we find many People have found many, many in the story of Ruth types of the bride of Christ. It's a great Bible drama, if you will, but more importantly, it gives us a great parallel to the gospel of Christ. The Bible says while Naomi's family lived in Bethlehem of Judea, there was a famine in the land. And instead of remaining in the land of Canaan, Naomi, her husband, and her two sons left for Moab in search of a better life. And during their stay in Moab, both her sons married Moabite wives. One was named Ruth. The other wife was Orpah. And later, both Naomi's husband and her two sons died, leaving Naomi a home alone with her daughters-in-law. So these three women represent three types of people. They're examples of three kinds of people. Naomi is like the backslider. Orpah is like those who reject the gospel. And Ruth is like those who accept the gospel. In Genesis chapter 26, the Bible tells us of a famine that happened previously. It says, there was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines in Gerar. Then the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land which I shall tell you. Dwell in this land and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants I give all these lands, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father, and I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give to your descendants all these lands, and in your seed all the nation of the earth will be blessed. See, God had not promised Israel protection outside of the land of Canaan. The Lord, he told Isaac, he said, you don't need to leave Canaan because of the famine. For he promised that he would bless Isaac. He would bless his descendants in Canaan. And ladies and gentlemen, God does not provide for us protection and blessing outside of our abiding place in Him. John 15:4 says, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. You say, what are you saying, Thomas? I'm saying, don't look to Egypt. Don't look to this world. Don't look to Moab for your provision. Times are tough and things are hard, but your provision will always be found in your promise. He said, for the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it and are safe. Ladies and gentlemen, there's safety in the house of the Lord. We need to abide in that name, the name of the Lord. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. My question is, what do you desire today? What is it that you need today? Do you desire a little revival today? Do you desire a little deliverance? Do you desire some healing? Do you desire some salvation? I'm telling you, you've come to the house of the Lord tonight. And whatever you need, you've been to the right place, because all of those things are found in here. Praise God. Let's give God a hand clap. Naomi's sorrow drove her back to Bethlehem. And this is similar to Israel. When they would backslide, their sorrow would drive them back to God. And so Naomi she's like a backslider with much sorrow. And I find a parallel to the prodigal son. And I know we know the story of the prodigal son. But if you'll just allow me to just entertain me here, I'm going to read a good portion of this to bring some things out. Verse 11 of chapter 15 of Luke. Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give to me the portion of goods that fall to me. So he divided them his livelihood, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, Moab, if you will, and there wasted his possession with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land. And he began to be in want. And then he went and joined himself to the citizens of that country. And they sent him to the field to feed the swine. And he would have gladly have filled his stomach with the swine ate. But no one gave him anything. But the Bible says when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I'll say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and he came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And he said, and his son said, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight, no longer worthy to be your son. But I want you to listen to what the father said. Bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. Bring out the fatted calf and kill it, and let us be merry. For this my son was dead, and he's alive again. He was lost, and he's found, and he began to be merry. I read that long portion of scripture because, ladies and gentlemen, I know what goes on in the hearts and the minds of people because I'm just like you. Sometimes we mess up and we goof up and we need revival in our life. But then you've got old sulfur breath, the forked tongue liar. He's over here. He's lying. He's lying. He's lying. He's saying, you've messed up too much. You used to have that prayer life. You used to have that ministry. You used to be used this way or that way. You used to be able to come to the house of God and feel the presence of God. But God doesn't want anything to do with you anymore because of this or that or the other. I know what you did last year, last week, last month. Can I tell you, he's a liar. Can I tell you, if that's yours, you may be in Moab tonight. You may be at a hog trough tonight. But can I tell you, the Father is watching and he's looking and he's waiting for somebody to come to themselves. He said, hey, bring out the best robe. He wants to cover somebody with some righteousness. Bring out the ring. I want to put my name back on. Don't listen to the enemy. This is the house of God where mercy and love and righteousness and peace is found. Can we clap our hands to the Lord? I believe God's talking to somebody tonight. Hallelujah. So Ruth, she followed Naomi back. Naomi had two daughters, one Ruth and the other Orpah. But Orpah, let's talk about her for a second. She decided not to follow Naomi. She turned back at the border of Moab. Orpah decided that she cannot leave her home. She can't leave her idols to serve the one true God. And in this decision, she's very similar to those that reject Christ. Many turn their back on salvation because they're not willing to give up the world, not willing to give up the pleasures of sin. They fear what their relatives will say. They fear of losing their friends. But there's those that are like Ruth. Ruth says, entreat me, Naomi. Entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For where you go, I go. And where you lodge, I lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God will be my God. See, somewhere Naomi had to tell these girls about the goodness of God, about the love of God, about the mercies of God, about the miracles of God, about the provision of God. She told them about how good God was. But no matter how good she was, the people, or how good God was, the people of the world, they don't want to hear it because they're wrapped up in those things. But Ruth, she had a different attitude. And ladies and gentlemen, we got to share this. We got to walk in this. We got to be an example, not for just us, but we've got, when you label yourself as a Jesus name, tongue talking, holy roller, if you will, people are watching. People are looking. Our kids are watching. Our children, our grandkids are watching, and they need to see us worship. They need to hear about the goodness of God, about the love of God. And you know, they need to see us when we get in a rock, between a rock and a hard place. They need to see us get to the altar and say, God, I need your help. God, my faith is in you. And you say, why you say that, Thomas? Because as precious as these babies are, they're going to grow up and they're going to find their own rock and they're going to find their own hard place. But let it be said of our kids, you know what? Mom and dad didn't give up. Mom and dad didn't throw in the towel. Mom and dad didn't walk away. They didn't give up on church. They kept coming to church. They prayed more. They fasted more. They sought God more. I'll be like mom and dad. Treat me not to leave you or forsake you, mom and dad. Your people, the church, will be my people. Your God will be my God. I'm telling you, it matters how we live. Amen. Hallelujah. Is this all right for Bible study night? Ruth wasn't satisfied with just being one of God's people. She sought out the promises of God, the benefits of God's law that commanded there to be provision in the field. And the law said that if you had a rectangle field, you had some good corn or watermelons or what have you in there, and you couldn't harvest the corners. That was God's provision for the poor. If you had them on a cart or a wagon and your ears of corn fell, that's where they lay. That was God's provision for the poor, right? Matter if you're the field owner or the worker, in God's kingdom, there's provision. So likewise, like Ruth, she wasn't content just being in the kingdom. She went to laboring. And so likewise, we shouldn't be content just having our sins washed away. And we need to be seeking out God's promises and immediately be taking advantage of the promises of his word. And we need to be laboring in a field, and you say, well, here he goes. He's going to talk about soul winning, but there's so many other fields to labor in. How about laboring in righteousness, laboring in sanctification, laboring in separation and repentance, and laboring to be a light, to be salt, to love our neighbors, laboring in mercy, just laboring to be a man or a woman of God. You say, why are you going to labor like that? 2 Peter 1:4 gives us the answer. It says, by which, having been given us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. I think I gave them the wrong scripture. Maybe. Either way, a laborer, ladies and gentlemen, is worthy of his hire. He feeds the birds. He clothes the fields. He said, I've not seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread. He said, I'll never leave you and I'll always be with you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you until the end of the age. And what I'm saying is in the promise of God, there's always provision. And I'm telling you, the provision is always found in the promise. Naomi told Ruth, she said, don't labor in any other field. You stay right there with Boaz. And ladies and gentlemen, we can't have one foot in Moab and one foot in Canaan and expect God to bless us. What are you saying? I'm saying it's time to come on out of Moab, come out of Egypt and get into Canaan, get into the field, get into the promise, get into the church, and it's time to receive our blessings. Amen, amen. Chapter 3 of Ruth is one of my favorites. It begins and ends with rest. Naomi counseled Ruth. She said to remind Boaz that he's one of our kinsmen and he can redeem us. And here we find Ruth taking advantage of another of God's laws. In the law God gave to Israel, if a widow was childless and she was to marry her husband's nearest relative and he was to provide for her and his dead husband's kid's name, that his would go on through childbearing, his name would. And so, as Naomi instructed Ruth that night, she laid at Boaz's feet, and Boaz covered her with the portion of his garment. And by this, by him taking his garment and covering her, it was a token of an engagement. Everybody say token. I get this from Ezekiel 16:8. This is God speaking through the prophet to Israel. He said, when I passed by you again and looked upon you, indeed, your time was a time of love. So I spread my wing over you and covered your nakedness. Yes, I swore an oath to you and entered into a covenant with you, and you became mine, says the Lord. See, that night, Boaz told Ruth, he said, I'll redeem you in the morning. And Jesus is looking to be engaged to a bride. He's looking to be engaged to a bride that knows that she needs redeemed, a bride that knows that she needs covering. And entering into this engagement, the bride is going to have to set at his feet like Ruth did, set at his feet and repent so she can be covered by his grace. A bride that's willing to go down in baptism in his name to be covered by his blood. A bride that knows she needs redeemed. But the token, everybody say token. The token of this engagement, it's not a ring or a dowry or a handshake or anything like that. When a person enters into this token with Christ or enters into this engagement with Christ, the token that they're given is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Anybody got the Holy Ghost in here? Lift your hands if you've ever received the Holy Ghost. Real high. All right. Ephesians 1:13-14, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, whom also having believed you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. See, it was nighttime. Look at that. To the guarantee, the token, that's where we get the token from. It was nighttime and Boaz told Ruth, he said, I'll redeem you in the morning. And in church, let me tell you, and you know this, I know you know it, we live in a dark, dark world. This is not heaven. As much as people want to make it heaven, it's not heaven. There's pain, there's sorrow, grief, guilt, shame, disease, sins of all kinds. This is not heaven. But I want to tell you, hold on. If you've got the token, hold on, because we will be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. This corruption will put on incorruptible. This mortal will put on immortality. I believe it says in Psalms that weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Do we believe that Jesus is still coming back? See, I got something, ladies and gentlemen, that the world couldn't give me. And I'm not trading my token. I'm not trading my gift for something that sparkles, something that shines. You know what? I'll give it away. I'll sell it, whatever I got to do. I just want to be in his will. Amen? Don't trade your token. So this last part here, and I'm going to hurry. It's my favorite part. Boaz told Ruth. He said, Ruth, there's another kinsman that's closer. And so he went and he checked with them. And when that closer relative was unable to redeem Ruth and Naomi, Boaz was fast to do it. Can you give me Psalms 14:1-3? This is the Lord's speech. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There's none who do good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of man to see if there were any who understood, if any seek God, and they've all turned aside. They've all together become corrupt. There is none who do good. No, not none. That kind of reminds you of the Apostle Paul, right? He said, all have fallen short of the glory of God. There's none righteous. No, not one. When we think of lost, ladies and gentlemen, what comes to our mind? I'm not proud of this, but it's kind of stereotypical of what we do. And I don't hold these beliefs. I'm just saying this is what typically happens. When we think of lost, we think of the guy on the street holding the sign, we'll work for food, right? In our mind, we think of the guy in jail, or we think of the guy who's addicted, or we think of all of these different things. We think of people who sin different than what we do, right? Let's just be honest with ourselves. We think of lost. That's not what lost is, though. I'm going to share with you what lost is. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And on the sixth day, he created man. He formed man, fashioned man. He got intimate with man. He got his hands dirty with man. And he breathed life into man. And man was created to be in awe of God, to love God, to worship God, to fellowship with God, to walk in the garden with God, and to be just awe of him and worship him and to follow him and obey him. He was created for God's fellowship. But sin entered into the garden. Sin come to man. So here is your definition of lost. Put your own name there. Jesse, where are you? Jesse! That, ladies and gentlemen, is the definition of lost. That scripture in Psalms that we just read, that is like Boaz looking to the nearest kinsman. There's one closer. From the animals that were sacrificed in that garden all the way to Calvary, it was God saying to man, all of that blood, hold on, because I want you back. Hold on, I know you're lost, I know you got defiled, but I want you back. And so God looked, is there a man, is there any that knows to do good, to seek God, is there any righteous? And he says he looked and there was none. So what was the answer? Unto us a son, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. His name shall be Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He is Emmanuel, which means God with us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. For he was God manifested in the flesh, the express image of the invisible God. And Jesus didn't deny it. He said, Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. God looked down. He said, is there a man that can stand in the... Is there a man that could take the place? No, there's none. So what will we do? I'll do it. I'll come in his place. I'll shed the blood. I'll go to Calvary. Ladies and gentlemen, I thank God for the blood. I thank God for the outpouring of the Spirit. I worship God. That's why I say, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Because he done for me what you couldn't do for me. He did for you what I couldn't do for you. He paid the price. He become the kinsman redeemer. Aren't you thankful for the blood today? Aren't you thankful? All right, so here's what we're going to do. I don't know. I'm a traveling preacher trying to get to a rock out in the ocean. I don't know your names. I don't know. But we're going to open up the altar here in a second. I don't know how you guys normally do things. I'm a little different. That's all right. But God wants to touch you today. You may have been here and you've had the Holy Ghost for a long, long time, but it may have been a long time since you've prayed through and you felt that manifest presence of God. That doesn't mean, I'm not saying you're in sin. I've lived in this world. I know. You work 12 hours a day, come home, cut the grass, do the dishes, cook the dinner, feed the dog, do the homework, get the kids in bed, and then by the end, you lay down, you're like, oh, thank you, Jesus, and you go to sleep. The Bible warns us of cares and the affairs of the world that'll choke out the seed, and he tells us to make sure, he warns us of five virgins that were unwise, that didn't have oil in their vessel. But then he says to those that have never been a part of this, he said, if you'll repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus, you can receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So either way, we're all in the same boat. I every day seek to pray till I'm overflowing, till the rivers of living water are overflowing out of me. So we're going to open up the altars, and if we can get the music to come. Here they come, praise the Lord. So let's all stand. If there's anybody here that wants to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, Today you can receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's real simple. I will help you pray. My wife will help you pray. Pastor will help you pray. But it's real simple. But if you're here today and it's been a while, man, pray through. Don't take advantage of this opportunity of being in God's house. There's no dishes. There's no none of that right now. Today is the day of salvation. This is the day that the Lord has made. I want to take advantage of every opportunity that I have. And now is the opportunity. Amen. All right. As they begin to pray or play, let's begin to pray. And I don't know if I'm pretty sure we can open up the altar area. And so you can find a place to pray and you can talk to God. And if you don't have the Holy Ghost, please come. Let me pray for you. Come to me. That way I know who to pray for. Like I said, I don't know you. But if you need the Holy Ghost today, it's yours. It's a promise unto you, unto your children, as many that are as far off. As long as the church is here, God's still filling people with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's seek Him. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We thank you, God, for your goodness, for your mercy, for your love. God, for that blood that you shed. We thank you, God, that you did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. And God, we confess, Lord, that our busy work and our all of the cares and the affairs of the world. And I'm asking you, God, to look down upon me with mercy today and forgive me, God, of my sins. And forgive me, God, of my busyness. And Lord, anything and everything that would separate me from you. I'm asking you tonight, Lord God, to forgive me of those things. But God, I want to be filled with you tonight. I want to be filled with your Spirit tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, man, that's it.
I found a love greater than life itself. I found a hope stronger and nothing compares. I once was lost, now
you, Lord. I need some revival in my life. I need a touch. I need a good dose of the ghost tonight, Lord.
Come alive in you, Jesus. You're my God and my firm foundation. It is you whom I'll trust at all times. I give glory and praise, adoration to my Savior who's seated on high. I found a love greater than life itself. I found a hope stronger and nothing compares. I once was lost, now I'm alive in you. I found a love greater than life itself. I found a hope stronger and nothing compares. I once was lost, now I'm alive in you. I found a love. I found a love greater than life itself. I found a hope stronger and nothing compares. I once was lost, now Jesus. I fall, you are there by my side. You deliver me out of darkness. Now I stand in the hope of your life. Peace, I'm free. You rescued me. Now all I am is yours. I found a love greater than life itself. I found a hope stronger and nothing compares. I once was lost, now I'm alive in you. I found a love. I found a hope. I once was lost. Now I'm alive in you, Jesus. I found a stronger. I once was lost, now I'm alive in you. I come alive in you, Jesus. I come alive in you, Jesus. I come alive in you, Jesus. Come alive in you, Jesus. I 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 found a love greater than life itself. I found a hope stronger and nothing compared. I once was lost, now I'm alive in you. I found a love greater than life itself. I found a hope stronger and nothing compared. I once was lost, now I'm alive in you. I found a love greater than life itself. I found a hope stronger and nothing compares. I once was lost, now I'm alive in you. I come alive in you, Jesus. 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 I want come alive in you, Jesus.
Praise God. Praise the Lord again, church. I just want a quick reminder here. If you would like to sponsor the Thomases, please feel free to do so. We will be taking them on as a partner. And we will, if anyone else as a family wants to sponsor them, we'll kind of bundle our sponsorship. But if you would also like to give toward their car, their vehicle, feel free to do that. If you send in a check, make sure you just label that. If you give online funds, make sure you label it that way. Thank you so very much, Brother and Sister Thomas, for blessing us here this evening. They're going to be in the Madison area through the weekend. So continue to bless them, continue to pray for them. And thank you so very much. Reminder, Sunday morning service and 10 o'clock and then 11 o'clock worship service. And I'll be speaking on Sunday morning. And then we have our VOSIS and African combined service at 1 o'clock with the potluck following. And then men's, nobody's listening. The building's on fire. If you're the first one up here, I'll give you $1,000. I've got a car to give away. I've got a quarter beef in my office if anyone wants it. Yeah, nobody listens. Yeah, this is how politicians feel, don't they? Oh, God bless you. We'll see you when we see you.